This is Cultural Passions. I'm Dermot McIntyre, and today we're in the market town of Drumcolliher in West Limerick to talk about food culture with three passionate people who work with food in Limerick.
Hi, I'm Teresa Story, and I run the Green Apron with the help of all of my family. We're a small artisan preserve business in West Limerick. I took the business over from my mom when I moved home from college about 20 years ago. And so we grow a lot of our own fruit and vegetables, and we forage a lot of wild food.
I'm Caroline Rigney from Curragh Chase in West Limerick. And with my husband, Joe, we farm 14 acres. We operate it as a rare breed farm and farmhouse bed and breakfast. And we also have a processing unit where we process the meat off our land, the shorthorn cattle and the rare breed pigs.
I'm Jim McNamara. And I work in the Organic College in Drumcolliher here in West Limerick. I'm also an organic farmer in Knockaderry, and I have a little woodland. So I just want to say to everybody, Fáilte go Drumcolliher.
At the moment, we're standing outside the cooperative. This was the first ever creamery cooperative.
In Ireland or in Britain? We have an important heritage. We're going back to 1889. Which was a fairly bleak time in Ireland. So the collective spirit of people in this area to come together and pool their resources towards a cooperative was historic, because it meant, in Plunkett's terms, better farming, better business and better living. And we're still guided by those principles.
And that sense of coming together, working together in order to grow our food, you've probably brought that to the extreme in your family, Teresa.
I have. They would complain about it. As I grew up, we all worked in the garden, mom and dad, and then all of us kids all through the summer. You had 2 hours of weeding in the morning, 2 hours of weeding in the afternoon, and woe betide if you were found reading a book behind the beans. We always had fresh vegetables. And so I've tried to bring my kids up the same way. The eldest is now 20, and he's very involved with slow food and the Green Party, and so I'm very happy that he's following in my footsteps.
For yourself, Caroline, whereas Teresa got to grow up with land and with growing, land was more of a dream.
My husband grew up on a farm, on a dairy farm in County Westmeath. I didn't, and he was not going to inherit the farm either. But I was passionate to have a little bit of land somewhere, anywhere. So that brought us from Westmead via Kildare and finally to West Limerick, where we found our little small holding, and we just turned our lives upside down for it. Probably the best thing we ever done.
I'm just struck at how much people know each other in this food culture.
We pretty much all know each other because Caroline's next to me in one market. I've been to courses, weekend courses here where at the Organic College where I've had a chat with Jim, and everywhere we go, we bump into each other.
It's a great network because you can travel anywhere in the world, and there is a kind of an open door if people know you're involved with the soil or with food. So it's at a different level. It's not at what we might call posh food or expensive restaurant food. This is a people's culture of food around the world.
As we're looking through the windows, the lovely old windows of the Drumcolliher Creamery Cooperative, we can actually see a wonderful old machinery all intact.
Yeah, come and have a look inside.
Wow, that's incredible. We can actually see painted bright sky blue pipes and red barrel bands and bright yellow half bands. I mean, this is the whole building as it was maybe 100 years ago.
That's true, Dermot. And the full story is here. It's a community proud of its tradition. So you've everything from the engine room right up along to the power shaft here, and the butter making facility is the separator. It's one of the features of food in Ireland that we have to celebrate our heritage, really, and innovate with it and modernise it.
Well, I believe that what I'm doing is part of a very old cultural thing for Ireland, because of the bacon and, say, the black pudding, and people always comment on it. It's just like my grandmother made. I make it in very small batches, and it's very true to what it was years and years ago. It's not a commercial product. It's a very artisan product.
Well, preserving is one of the most important things, food things, that people used to do, because how else were they going to eat vegetables and fruit through the winter if they hadn't preserved it? We're using a lot of traditional recipes, and we use a lot of traditional methods, and we make it in small batches. And because we forage a lot of wild fruit, it's very traditional. because that's what everybody would have had. You know, poorer people who didn't have an orchard would have had to forage wild.
Well, we might take a walk through Drumcolliher over to the other side of town where we'll find the Organic College. So, Caroline, as we're walking now, I think we're all beginning to get a little hungry. We're getting that waft of freshly baked bread coming through as we pass not just one, but two bakeries.
Beautiful smell of fresh home-baked bread coming through the air. It's lovely.
And do you bake yourself?
Oh, I do. I bake most days. I would bake for the B&B guests every morning. That's the first thing I do. I put the bread in the oven, prepare the dining room for them coming down, and then serve them the produce off the farm.
And how important is it, Caroline, in your view of food and food culture, that food is produced locally and sold locally?
Oh, I think it's vital that it happens, because people had began to lose the link with where the food is coming from. And the amount of people, like in my bed and breakfast in particular, that's why they come to us. It's not because they need accommodation. They come for the food and the animals and see the farm and to just part of the land and get down and dirty on the farm, really, and then to taste the food at the end of it that we make. I think it's hugely important, and it needs to start in school. It needs to start very, very young.
So, Jim, we've just come in the gate of the Organic College, and already we can see like fruits and gardens and flowers everywhere.
It's true, Dermot, and we're going ahead now. On our left as you walk, you will see apple trees. There's one here called Glen's Doll, which is a native Limerick apple. And of course, you have a hazelnut tree down here, which gives Drumcolliher, got its name from hazel, Drumcolquilla, the back of the hazel wood. So we're passing by those, and we're heading now up towards the main veg garden.
We have a couple of curry plants here.
We just passed this wonderful raised bed with smells. What have we got here?
Well, you've got yarrow ahila here beside you, which is a major medicinal one. And if you come up a little bit further, you'll find a few curry smells. Bit of sage here as well.
I smell Christmas dinner when I smell sage.
All these plants here in Antoinette Glass, they've been cultivated. Patricia, some of the jams and the preserves that you would make, you will head out your gate to find the plants.
I will head out my gate or over the hedge into the neighbour's field. I've chatted to them all, and they've all agreed in exchange for pots of jam that I can raid their hedges. So in the springtime, I watch the hedges so that I can see where the elderflowers are, because I don't pick a lot of elderflowers because I want the elderberries, because elderberry jelly is the best. And I also watch where all the crabapples are on the roadsides. So always have a basket in the car.
Being almost a free-range human, free to go and gather your food wherever you please. And at the same time, Caroline, that's very much your approach to the pigs that form the very basis of Curry Chase Farm.
Totally, yeah. They're outdoors all the time. The sows only come in to have their babies, and that's just for convenience for ourselves. They get a huge amount of forage from the land. And you'll see quite often after, say, a sow has had her babies, she'll be anxious to get outside for a little run, and she'll head off down the field and she'll self-medicate, basically. She'll find the bits that she wants to make herself feel better after her farrowing. When she has an hour done, she'll be back standing at the stable waiting to go into the babies.
I'm joined by Jim McNamara, Caroline Rigney and Teresa Story. We're just coming in now into the gardens of Antoinette Glass.
We have vegetables, herbs, poultry, trees. The polytunnels in the protected cropping covers the winter period, the bleak period as well. That's kind of it. We have a little quiet room upstairs then for reflection, and the outdoor kitchen, which we're going to experience in a few minutes.
And at the heart of it, Jim, the soil itself, my hand's going through this beautiful, loamy, dry yet managing to retain enough moisture.
Well, we had rain last night, thank heavens, but this is what we call heavy clay in Drumcolliher. But it's very special, particularly to organic people, because this is a limited resource. It's what all food ultimately comes from, the soil. And the organic message is take care of the soil. In that fistful that you just lifted, Dermot, there would be in the region of probably 7 billion microorganisms in that, just that fistful alone. And the challenge of a good gardener, a good organic gardener, is you become the conductor of the orchestra. You get all these little creatures working, playing in harmony. And that's a lifelong challenge, to be a really good grower.
And Caroline, for you, that sense of managing your 14 acres, you never had land. What drove that choice for you?
Oh, the love of the land and the love of food and the love of being outside. And then for the children as well, when the children were small, like, they named all the animals. They felt they owned them, actually. Baby chicks come along, geese come along. It was a huge encouragement for them to be part of nature and to enjoy good food too.
And then you moved from that to going and selling at markets. And that's something the two of you share, yourself and Teresa. Is there a philosophy, Teresa, that underpins that sense of growing your food at home and then selling it through markets?
I was actually contacted by Aldi the first time we won an award. And for a minute there, I went, oh my God, I'm going to build a giant jam factory. And then I went, you know what, that's not what I want. I like to be growing my own, making small batches of jam, spending time with my family and selling directly to the customer. Do you know, at the markets, there's people coming who might not see anybody from one week to the next. And they come to the markets and they have a chat and they discuss the weather and the food and everything. And that's part of my job. Do you know, not just selling, bang, let's get the money.
Or even to come and I've been asked to come and have a cup of tea. Do you ever pass my way? If you ever pass and come in for a cup of tea.
In BMO, we used to say in Irish, slow food, slow living. Because there's only so much that you have to live anyway, so you better enjoy it. And I think the banter at the market is hugely important for people.
So on a fine summer's evening, there's absolutely no better place to be than outside in amongst the food that you grow yourself. And here in Tonnaglass, we've also got a barbecue. So we've brought the little freezer bag, Caroline, and we're digging out some of your...
We have the homemade sausages. That's made from Tamworth pork, which is the ginger pig. The pork chops are large black. You can see the blackish bristles on them.
This is our prize-winning spicy tomato and charred pepper chutney. That's the first preserve that I won a prize with.
And you're having a smell of it there, Caroline.
It's beautiful. It really is gorgeous. It will certainly complement the barbecue.
The breaking of bread together, the sharing of food. How important is that?
Well, I think it's a universal thing. I suppose for me in the organic world, it's sort of Thanksgiving. It's buíochas, we'd say in Irish. Buíochas that the earth has given us this produce. And if you share that Thanksgiving with other people, it kind of frees you up a bit. It releases what might be the immediate stresses and tensions.
That would be my social life. That is what I do. Friends will come around to the house and I'll have food with us, let it be freshly baked bread or maybe sometimes come round for dinner. But that's it, that's my social life.
Do you guys even have a honey?
Our barbecue is ready. We've got elderflower and gooseberry fool, pork chops and sausages, the chutneys and sauces.
It's really gorgeous.
Each of you has taken a particular path that has brought you to a place where food is celebrated and shared. What are the times that make you glad that you have taken that path?
One of the biggest joys is watching young people experience, touch the soil, grow seeds, watch them grow, and look and say, hey, I never knew you could do that before. And that's a great joy and a privilege.
I'm a bit of a feeder. I feed people. That's how we all celebrate in our family and in our extended family. Everybody comes to my house and I feed everybody till they're rolling out the door. We lost a friend of ours when he was 27. All of my extended family and friends, because they live all over the country and abroad, come to us once a year and we have a feast. And it's so that we can all reconnect and make the point that we all love each other. Do you know, and it's a sharing and a love thing, and so that we meet once a year so that if we lose somebody else, they know that we're still together.
For me, it's if I walk down the fields to feed the pigs at the back of the field on a summer's evening and I can walk down on my bare feet and I can just smell the herbs and I can smell the hedges and I can just touch the earth.
Yeah.
Teresa's story, Jim McNamara and Caroline Rigney exploring Limerick's food culture at the Organic College in Drumcollar in County Limerick with Dermot McIntyre. Cultural Passions is a joint commission by RTE Lyric FM in partnership with Limerick Live 95 to mark Limerick City of Culture 2014. It is a Grey Heron Media production and was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland from the television licence fee. In Cultural Passions next week, next Sunday, Dermot meets three people with a passion for sporting culture.